This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're glad to have you with us today. We're going to be teaching some good stuff from the Word of God that we invite you to stay with us. And at the end of the program, we'll tell you how you can get all these teachings. These are usually ongoing teachings. And so we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. We're glad to have you with us, and now we're going to go into the teaching. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. Praise the King. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. Let's come to the Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come to you, we ask you to anoint this program today with the Holy Spirit and power. Use us, Lord, as your children, to do great and mighty things for your kingdom. Lord, wake up the church. Wake us up, Father, and show us what we can do through your mighty Holy Spirit and the power that comes with him. Father, bless us as we talk about the mighty Holy Spirit today. Reveal to us the truth and the power of who we are as sons and daughters of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. First of all, to receive the infilling power of the Holy Spirit, you have to be a Christian. God won't give you the Holy Spirit if you're not one of His. That's just like all of His promises. Their promises are to His children. You have to be a child of God. Well, He made that so simple, that a four-year-old could receive it. And this is how simple it is. And you find the answer in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, 9, and 10, where He says, "But the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith, the word of God, which is the word of faith that we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you will believe in your heart that the Father raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved." Now, you have to do that by faith. You got to believe that. You can't say, "Well, I've tried everything else. I guess I'll try this too." Chances are it's not going to work for you. If you want it to work, you say, "It is written. It is written." Jesus said, "Confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in my heart the Father raised him from the dead, and I would be saved." So he said, if God said it, praise God, that's it, I'm saved. Then go start reading the Word and doing what saved people do. What do saved people do? They do what the Word of God says. They purify themselves from evil. They get rid of all sin, and they start believing the Word. And the Word says that He's given us power. He's given us power to do all kinds of things. Now we have the power of the Holy Spirit to be saved. Now we need to receive the infilling power of the Holy Spirit for service. So then we say, "Father, you said in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, that if I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit, you will." So, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you to fill me with the Holy Spirit and power. Now, Jesus, baptize me into the power of the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, thank you that I am baptized. You made me a promise. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," the Holy Ghost. "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off and as many as the Lord our God will call." Well, you want to be grateful that He's called you to be one of His children. He calls people to be saved. And He came to die on the cross that all might come to repentance and be saved. But again, most people in the world are going to miss this most awesome free gift, and that's salvation. And they're going to miss heaven, and they're going to go, and they're going to burn in hell. And that's so sad. But that's the worst thing that can happen to you, is to miss salvation and then go and burn in hell forever. I can't even fathom that, folks. I can't even grasp what that's like. In fact, I made a statement in church the other day that kind of, I think, startled several people. I said, if you're a Christian, if you're a Christian, if all you ever learn is just knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you never learn the gifts of the Spirit are yours, you never learn about the baptism and power of the Holy Spirit, you never learn how to walk in faith, real faith, you never learn how to cast out demons, to heal the sick, or nothing else. You never learn none of those things, but you do receive Jesus as your Savior. I said, then the period of time that you live on earth, the few years, whether it be 10 years, 50 years, whatever it is, all the hell you'll ever experience will be right here on this earth. Because once you die, you get to go to heaven. Now then, the more you know about God and the more you walk in His power of the Spirit, the greater will be your rewards. So the greater will be your position in heaven. And everybody's not going to be equal in heaven. There's going to be people that have be given places of power and authority, because Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, He's talking about how He was an overcomer on earth and how His Father allowed Him to sit with Him in His throne. And He says to those of you that overcome, then I will allow you to sit with Me in My throne. So there is going to be some that get to sit with Jesus in His throne. There will be some that will not. There will be some that never learn these things because they spend too much time with the world and not enough time with God. But the Holy Spirit is for all that will receive it. And then it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." Now then, these people, just a couple of chapters before here in Acts chapter 2, had already just been filled with the Holy Spirit. So if these people in Acts chapter 2 had been filled, and by Acts chapter 4 He's already gone, and or almost all gone, then the power of the Holy Ghost is like gasoline in a gas tank. You use it up as you use the power of the Holy Spirit. It's used up. So you need to re-ask every day for the Lord to fill you again with a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that's what we want You to do. Every day we want You to fill us anew with the power of the Holy Spirit, because we're Your children. We want to be used of You for Your glory, to do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. Lord, it's not us and for our glory, but it's for Your glory. You are the only one that's worthy. But anyway, when you ask Him every day to fill you with the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, there will be a boldness upon you every day to talk to everybody you come in contact about Jesus. You'll be able to love them and talk to them, and you'll just be able to do great things for the kingdom of God. Now then, also, when you have that infilling power of the Holy Ghost, you have a discerning ability that you didn't have before. Now, I want to show you something that happened to Peter here in Acts chapter 5, whenever Ananias came to him and lied to him about money. Ananias came to Peter and had told Peter a story about he'd sold a piece of land and for so much money when he lied. He didn't sell it for that much. He sold it for more than that. But he had told Peter, he didn't realize, Ananias had no knowledge of this infilling power of the Holy Ghost and how it worked, really, because if he had he wouldn't have lied. Because when you lie, you have no idea that God knows what you're doing. And so you better hope, if you tell a lie, that the same thing doesn't happen to you that happened to Ananias. But it says in Acts chapter 5, verse 3, "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself?" Now then, he lied. Now right there, Ananias, when he lied, Peter, because he had the infilling power of the Holy Ghost, he had the discerning ability of that Spirit to know that Ananias was telling him a lie. Now then, with the infilling power of the Holy Spirit, you'll have those abilities to do great and mighty things whenever it pertains to the kingdom of God. The Lord will be able to communicate through your spirit and show you things that you know not by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then he says, here's the kind of men. In Acts chapter 6, verse 3, we need men that have power and of the Holy Spirit. And so Acts chapter 6, verse 3, they're looking for men And they says, therefore, brethren, seek out, look out now among you, seven men of good reputation who are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. When you go to appoint elders in your church, you want men that are full of the Holy Ghost. You don't want a young man. I mean, you do not want a young man. I don't care how on fire he appears to be. If he's under 25 or 30 years old, you want to keep him out of positions of power and authority in the church. And he is not ready. I mean, it's too easy for pride to get in, for them to get puffed up, and for the devil to get control of them. They got too many desires that are too easy to overcome by the devil. So if you got a young man, 25 years old, I don't care. I mean, I even draw the line even to 30 years of age. But for sure, under 25. If they're under 25, I don't care how spiritual they appear. Don't you put them into positions of power in your church. You keep them in positions where they're not in positions of power, because they need to grow up a little bit. They need to get in the Word. They need to be proved. They need to be tested. They're not ready at 25. Most of them not ready at 30. It's too easy for the devil to deceive those young men, especially if they do get a little bit of that anointing from God. It's too easy for them to get puffed up. But you want to seek men that are full of the Holy Ghost and that are full of faith and full of power. Now then, in Acts chapter 7, verse 5, it said, but he being full of the Holy Spirit. Now, here is a man of God, this man, Stephen. He was full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Now, in Acts chapter 6, we were talking about, the scriptures are talking about Stephen. He is a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Now then, if you are a man or a woman or a person that are full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, you will be able to do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. Great and mighty things. But this man full of the Holy Ghost and power, sometimes men that are full of the Holy Ghost and power will say things to people, even in church, that won't come across just exactly right. And Stephen did this. These people didn't like what he said. But he was full of the Holy Ghost and power, and he was a man full of faith. But look what he said to the church. He is talking to the men of the church in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. He says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Now, I'm sure that went over extremely well to those elders of the church. He says, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Now, I can only imagine how this went over with these men. Well, it didn't go over very well. But he was full of the Holy Ghost, and he was doing exactly what God told him to do. I've heard a lot of people in my life tell me that God is a gentleman, and he would never do anything against your will. But they have not read the book that I have read here.
We have to stop right there, but if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.